My message last Sunday was very effective. I had to fire 4 people who didn't listen before the week was out for doing the very things I talked about on Sunday. One of them, before he was fired, had him ask the question, "Well, did you listen to Doc's message?" "No, I haven't had time to listen to it yet." Got a lot of time now. I didn't pursue it very far, but last Sunday I opened with John chapter 1. Go back there. We've been talking for over a year now about this selfhood that is captivated by the flesh or the world or the devil. No such thing as freedom. Freedom doesn't exist in a vacuum. The only freedom that exists is freedom from, to, whatever. We're all either slaves to the flesh or to some ego-driven self-image made slave to the world, its frame of reference, or the devil. Ultimately, to the ruler of darkness, Satan. He doesn't care what we do. He doesn't care what we do, as long as God doesn't get us. The light shines. Those that God has called have the receiver built in, and there's a response, however small, somewhere, to repeat again the poet's phrase, the hound of heaven finds you. In every generation, shines the light. If there's eyes, you respond. How you respond is the warfare of Christianity. How you respond from our standpoint is why Paul says we're to work out our salvation. The Greek words are the roots for trauma and phobia. With trauma and phobia. Whether or not we're to examine ourselves, not whether we're worthy, whether we be in the faith. Because the light comes with a message of redemption, all of our sins and false slavery covered in Christ, given a new beginning chance to trust. And the other side of trust is obey His call, separating us out to His purposes. And a warfare starts. The minute that light shines, the devil, like a guard dog, is aroused. And he doesn't care who you serve, what you serve, and the easiest way to victimize you is make you serve self. God wants to set you free to your ultimate creative purposes. And in the beginning, as we said last Sunday, in the beginning was the Word. Logos. The person that was capable of telling us all we need to know about God, and that Logos or Word was with, and in the Greek, the God. Definite article was there. And that Logos was God, but not the God, of the same essence. And that Logos, the same, was in the beginning, again the word with, facing God, adoring facing. Same phrase where Martha got mad in the Bethany household because Mary was with Jesus and Martha had work to do, needed help, and told Jesus to bawl Martha out, or bawl Mary out rather, make her help Martha get the work done. And Jesus said, she's chosen the better part. Martha, you're in trouble with much serving, with adoring facing. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, this Logos. He was the speaking, creative voice of the Godhead. Hebrews 1 says, He spoke. Nothing became everything. Without Him was not anything made. It was made. That's Top Gun. That's top of the heap. You interested in power? He just speaks. And it all becomes. You want a basis for an ego? Compare what comes out of your mouth with the beauty of the universes that came from His speaking voice. In Him was life. There is no drive of man like that will to live, survival, in the most desperate condition. We'll fight. Even a mouse will fight. In Him was life. All came from Him. All we weirdos, with our self-preservation instincts, we got it from Him. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why? Well, go over a little ways. Third chapter. Nineteenth verse. This is the condemnation on the world, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I'm going to tell you something. The flesh will love you if you serve it. It'll treat you very nice and pleasurably. The world will love you if you serve it. The devil will certainly love you if you serve any one of these. Love you in a sadistic way. And nothing. Nothing makes you feel good in what you're doing more than others doing it. If you were of the world, Jesus said, the world would love its own. Well, you're supporting their way. Ye are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We become a contradiction to their way of doing things. This is what the problem is with the church that I'm beginning to deal with. Jesus has His purposes in choosing us, but we're surrounded by a culture, and we draw from personnel and patrons and clients, bound up in traditions that make void the Word of God that came from glory. Everybody wants their way. God's going to get His way. I was going to preach this morning on a Psalm 32. Be not like a horse and a mule that needs a bit and bridle. Otherwise, He'll not come near to you. Horses and mules have intelligence. They don't have understanding. You force them with pain to realize their best by imposing a superior will on them through force. The bit and bridle is force. This message was not to sinners. It was to saints, if you read the 32nd chapter of Psalms. The two methods with which God can get His job done. If He's chosen you, He's going to get His will accomplished or cast you away. The problem with most of us, the reason we're constantly crying out under grievous pain, is we're like a mule and a horse. God has to use a bit and bridle. The children of Israel who never came to understand God's ways. These messages are designed to make us begin to understand God's ways. Men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. We are corrupt according to deceiving desires. The desires are okay. We deceive or fall for the deceit. That serving self is okay. The church has sold out. Most of the churches in the land today are selling a God to you that serves you. That denies Himself for you. You go to church to find a preacher that will present a God whose only interest is looking out for you and making things better for you. Yet this one that redeemed us, the light, who had all of those things we want and can never be, forsake it all, forsook it all, humbled Himself, took upon Himself our likeness, humbled Himself even to the death of the cross. And what is it you react to the most? I mean, I'm dealing constantly with this problem of rearranging and reconstructing, and I'll get it done. The staff of this church, I hired 5 more people this week, too. And some of those that I hired for 7 months, 7 months has run, some of them didn't make it. As I said, I'm not lowering the standard. It ought to be an accomplishment to make it here. It ought to make the Rangers and the SEALs and other special forces second class. And over the years, that side of me that I try to hide, the softer side, has been taken advantage of. And people have gotten comfortable, and it's a job. Why did they not come to me? I'll give you a case in point. We have a generator that sits on a truck. It's to be out here with all the wires and cables. Because if we have a power failure here, just like if we have a power failure, sometimes we've had to crank up the satellites with a generator. We have 2 of them sitting at King's One. One of them sits on a flatbed truck. And just as we bring the studio down here every Sunday, the mobile studio, we bring the generator on the truck. It's just part and parcel of the equipment out here. Then if we have a power failure in the midst of this service, they can crank up the generator and we're still a voice around the world. Well, a few years ago, one of the old timers here to whom I assigned that job assigned it to someone else. That person is one of those that got fired. I didn't know that was his job on Sunday. And if I did, at 68, I have every right to forget and should have been reminded. Because we have a rule here, if I move anybody from anywhere, I'm to be told what unfinished assignment is left standing. It was handed off to another, one of these new guys. He had an accident. Fell off a ladder and broke his foot. Took off disabled. He's not here either. Am I boring you? I hate coats that don't unfill the pockets. Why should I have to clip threads after I buy a suit? I mean, you know, the money they charge you today, why can't they take their own threads out? They're listening today. If they don't cut the threads next coat I buy from them, I'll never buy another coat from them. I got more important things to do than cut threads in front of the whole world. He left. I don't know why God has me do these things, but last night about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I know I got, I hear on the radio, so-and-so's up at the ranch, the routine pickup. I said, wait a minute. On the radio, what the hell are you doing here at 9:30 for routine pickup? Boy, they didn't say that. So-and-so checking in. They didn't say what they were doing. What checking in for? Routine pickup. What do you mean routine pickup? It's 9:30. See, at 6:30, a camera is to be picked up and brought down here to this cathedral so they can be properly registered and set up. That means 6:30. It does not mean 6:29. It doesn't mean 6:31. It means 6:30. Well, I started knocking heads down a whole slew of them to find out who had this genius urge at 9:30, instead of doing it when it was supposed to be done. I have volunteers that work and give their time here on Saturday night, sitting down here, while someone that's paid can't get their act together and pick up something at the time they're told to pick it up. That's not a loose schedule that people can play footsie with. If you don't understand that, then you're like those I'm getting rid of. I ain't tolerating this looseness anymore. You'll find as I get into the message, why? Well, you ought to know already. That led me to ask the question, well, if they're this loose about this, who drove the generator truck down tonight? Oh, nobody. Then Jesus thought it was a bear too when he first saw it. Syndrome kicks in. All the ass covering lies. Well, some many months ago, it was reported to Doc that some of the wood on the flatbed was rotting and it was dangerous on the freeway with that heavy generator without fixing the rotting. At least they gave me credit for this. Doc said, fix it. The only thing that makes that a bad quote, I would have said, fix it tonight. And anybody around me knows that. And also a rule then kicks in. If they don't fix it tonight, they don't go to bed without telling me unfinished assignment. I'm not complicated. Just people have gotten away with saying, sorry, sir, until they make my patience look alongside God with the Israelites. I look better than God. Because he got fed up sooner than I did. He had 40 years, but less frequent. I've got 22 years every day. That was a week or two or now and then that the Israelites marched right. He had them in situations where they could do no other. I allegedly was told that the rotting wood made it dangerous, and that it was going, and I gave him authority to fix it. Well, to fix? No. Nothing been done. I said to this engineer, you got 30 minutes. And I did not use some cleanup language. I used real good street language. If you have to carry it on the end of your gonad, you have that generator truck down here in 30 minutes. It's out there. You see, people don't like that treatment. People don't. I figured it out. I've had people working for me for a long time that will do anything other than confront me. Pretty simple. The explanation. I'm going to read it to you. This is all introduction. Just sort of P.S. footnote follow-up to last Sunday. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's what we can't stand. Reproval. This generation is the champion generation in avoiding reproof. We grow up little gods to ourselves. Oh, Latrell Sprewell didn't choke his coach. Fingernail scratch marks on the neck prove he wasn't choking him. That's about as sound a logic as saying removing a hymen proves no rape occurred. That'll hit you after a while. Jesus thought it was a bear too when he first saw it. I don't know if any of you listened to Latrell Sprewell. He's got to have respect. The coach, you can't talk to him that way. Well, turn around, walk out. And then this dumb interviewer said, would you have done to your coach what you did if your coach had been black? And he said, yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference. The right question should have been, would you have done it if your coach was Shaq O'Neal? Men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Christianity's not complicated, it's just tough. Well, now Jesus had to deal with some dummies. The closest he ever came to calling them AHs, asteroid orifices, I'm sure was in this 16th chapter of Matthew. Go there, as I weave a little pattern on this subject for us today. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees came, 16th chapter, Matthew's Gospel, first verse. And tempting, they weren't sincere, they came as troublemakers. Tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky's red. In the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky's red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites. He wasn't nice. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, in which he lays down the fact that the only sign God now will condescend to do is the sign that Jonas and the belly of the whale and coming out was a type of the resurrection. God deigned to give that one lasting sign, raising his son from the dead, of which Jonas and the belly of the whale was a miraculous type. And when his disciples, and then he left them and departed. Now listen to this, because it comforts me to see the dummies that Jesus had to deal with. The one that came, I just read who he was. The light from eternity. Now he's chosen these disciples. And he set them apart and called them apostles, sent ones. And these learners of him. After this speech, and when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They had forgotten to take bread. And on the other side of Galilee, there were no 7-Elevens or Ralph Markets. They're going into the wilderness area. And they forgot to take bread. Jesus hadn't packed a lunch for them. And Jesus said unto them, you know, he's still carrying with him his spiritual rage at these Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites that he knew came to tempt him. Show us a sign. And he, in essence, said to them, now he's got these disciples that ought to be on his side, thinking as he's thinking, seeing as he sees, realizing the truth that he's just given, and they've followed him like a bunch of dodo boys, and they're on the other side, and they don't have bread. Jesus is still talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Get into this now. Get some flesh and blood on it. And Jesus said unto them, take heed. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious, leading religious voices of their day. Both parties represented. Jesus said unto them, they were this religious cosmos, this world who came mocking Jesus. Now he's still thinking about it, and he's saying to these disciples of his that ought to be in his wavelength, Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's all he said. You know, he just dropped one of his bombs. What it really means is these religious teachers, both parties, are like bad leaven that leavens the whole lump of understanding about God. These evil people just came wanting a sign, and I've rebuked them. Now he's still teaching his disciples. And he warns them, and look, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now here's his brilliant students. They're starting to talk now. I can see Jesus just trudging along. Now they're going to discuss the mind of the teacher. These are the mind readers. These are the ones that know it all. Listen to these. Boy, I want to call them what they are. Listen to these asteroid orifices. And they reasoned among themselves. With what? There's a lot you miss in the Bible if you race through it. They reasoned among themselves. Zero and zero equals zero. Zero plus zero plus zero plus zero 12 times equals zero. They reasoned among themselves, saying, what's he mean? We get the conclusion. There had to be more to it than that. He just said, beware of the leaven, Pharisees and Sadducees. What's he talking about? They obviously hadn't heard a thing while the Pharisees and Sadducees tempted their master. What's he talking about? And finally, genius conclusion. A majority vote. I got it. Men and brethren, I'll tell you what he means. They reasoned among themselves saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Beware of the leaven. Leaven goes in bread. That's the only thing you can conclude. Anybody but a mystical fool would know he's talking about the bread of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's griping. It's because, I know how he is, he's upset. Just hear him whispering. The old man's upset. And then there's always the expert in the crowd that presses closest to him that can tell you what the old man's upset about. Got about as much mind of the Spirit as stupid Joshua at halfway house on Mount Sinai. He didn't know what was going on with God up on the hill or what was going on in the camp. His first conclusion was it's a party. Then he decided war or vice versa. Neither one was right. He didn't know anything. But he's the first one to speak. Man doesn't change. They reasoned among themselves, saying it's because we've taken no bread. He's mad at us. He delivers a spiritual message. All they can think of is, am I in trouble? Stay with me a while. In case you're one of those that's written in a 7-month commitment, you come here and start coming to work trying to figure out how to not get in trouble, I will guarantee you what you fear will come upon you. For 7 months, you come to work saying, dear God, let me be the first to bleep up so I can get straightened out. Because that's when the devil takes possession of you. Because he will come to sympathize and to protect self. And I'm not to the heart of the message yet in this chapter. They reason among themselves saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you brought no bread. Listen to his frustration. Do ye not yet understand? No, I'm sure he said, do ye not yet understand? You blessed little ones and supporters of this ministry, I know you meant to bring bread, but that's not the subject. Honey, have you got something to add to that for these little people? can hear him roaring at them. Do you not understand? Oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Think about that. You know, we sort of read these verses in isolation. He just was with them out in the desert a short time before. And there was 5,000 people. And they were hungry. And Jesus, given them a chance to respond in faith, asked Philip, who was from that area, where can we buy some bread? Here they reasoned them together again. Just hear them over here whispering. What's the matter with that Jesus? Doesn't he know we only got a few pennies? He says, where do we buy bread? And they're counting pennies. And then they come to straighten him out on the facts. The creator of the world, they're going to straighten him out on the facts. And you think that God has not got a problem with human ego? You think that because God chose you, he eliminates that? Oh, he will. But you don't get a spiritual pill. You can't pray long enough to get rid of it. So how can I die? Well, dead men don't bleed. That's a start. Quit bleeding and whining when you get wrapped. Hey, I preached the same message for 22 years. I never came here offering something soft. I came looking for the uncommon person. I am absolutely convinced that most people that name the Lord's Lord are not even going to get close to the gate. They won't even get close enough to say, didn't we do thus and so in thy name? And hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. My master said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I don't know where you got this warped, idiot idea that God is making things easy. He made what we can't do easy. In order that he could claim what he wants, and he's not going for a cheap product. We're the family he will show off in eternity. What is it about your prissy little ass that makes you think you deserve to be adopted just because you have one? They're counting pennies. When a miracle was in the offing, and a little boy, not one of these know-it-all disciples that followed him around, a little boy with 5,000 people brought up a basket with 5 loaves and fishes and says, here, Lord. Now, there's faith. What did that boy think that little basket could do? He didn't know, but he knew Jesus could do something with it. And he took them through it, and when they finished, having fed everybody, they gathered up baskets full of surplus. He did it again with the miracle of the 4,000. And to those that think that these are somehow the same miracle with bad counting from different reporters, Jesus says concerning both of them, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you, not somebody else, you took up after that miracle? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up. It comforts me. It really does. He worked that miracle, and these same dumb asteroid orifice disciples gathered up the surplus from that one basket as he fed the 5,000, and they did it again, gathering up seven baskets. They had seen it twice. And now, because they forgot bread, they think he's really mad at them because there ain't no way they can eat in the wilderness. Are you on track? He's bawling them out pretty good. I know what he wanted to say. You filth, foul, bleep, bleep, umpty, ump, 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 yump, dump. Idiots! Well, you never understand, well, you never learn. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake what I said that you were reasoning about and thinking it was because you didn't bring bread? How is it you didn't understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then, oh, how wonderful, 2020 hindsight. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I want you to tune in on how hard it is to keep the flow going from His purposes. How quickly we flesh-oriented, world-oriented people change everything into our frame. If I'm accomplishing anything for myself today, I may leave here with a couple of days additional patience, knowing that Jesus had to put up with this. And He's better than I am, so He had to put up with it. That's what's killing me after 22 years. Those that are closest to me, they don't hear anything. They're totally on another planet. It goes in one ear and out the other. They do not comprehend what the message of Christianity is, which is to die to self and come alive to Him. Now watch this dumbass Peter. Let's keep going. When Jesus, keep going, 13th verse. Am I boring you? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now they get another chance to play genius. Oh, He's asking us a question. About time He taps our brain. I mean, we know we may have missed one on that bread bit. And we were counting pennies when we should have been thinking miracles. But now He wants us to tell Him who men think He is. Man, I got a shot now. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. It's obvious they've been talking to the wrong people. And they've just been aching for the chance to finally get a hearing. They know more than Jesus. Jesus, who saw Nathanael under the tree before He got there. He needed them to tell Him this. Whew. I've been waiting for Him to recognize I can tell Him a thing or two. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, which is Greek for Elijah, and others Jeremiah, Greek for Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, as if He needed this garbage. He saith unto them, I'm getting tired of this message already because it's forcing me to rethink my patience. I read this chapter for a long time. I don't want to be this patient anymore. It gives me heart attacks. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Oh, that's what he wanted to know. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice he says two things. I can find some room up here. He said, I will build my church. My church will be builded. My church will battle. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that just as quickly as the church is built, in fact, the minute it begins to be built, in the process of being built, a battle ensues. Because the gates of hell launch scuds. The gates of hell let loose their poison germ warfare. The gates of hell unleash everything. His task was to bring forth a church. Sorry, you can call it what you want. Give it your set of purposes. Have your subjective opinions all you want. The church exists to be built in his pattern and to battle. And you can't leave the battle out. Now, God called, I preached for 2 years through Ezra and Nehemiah and the accompanying contemporary prophets. They were called back exactly on time, proof it was God's doing, to build a Jerusalem. 650,000 in Babylon, only about 55,000 to 60,000 responded to the call. When they got there, in Nehemiah 4:17, they had to work with one hand and hold a weapon in the other hand. Why would God be so impractical when he has one angel, for example, we know about, that wiped out Sennacherib's army in one night? 120,000, they woke up dead. One angel. Now, Jesus lets us know there were legions that could have come to his help and rescue. I wonder what legions would do if one can do what that angel that wiped out Sennacherib's army outside the walls of Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day. So why would he take these wonderfully faithful people who left everything and marched for 4.5 months across the deserts to rebuild from the rubbish and the wreck in Jerusalem the place and the temple where the Lord Messiah, the righteous branch, would come and walk? Why wouldn't he send angels to ring around them while they get their work done? Instead of allowing a circumstance to happen where the opponents attack them until they have to work with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. Handicapped workers. One-handed workers because they've got to be watching and ready to do battle. What's being said here? I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Battle as well as building. Then he talked of the cross. He talked of the cross, and the very guy that he just complimented for recognizing him said, "Be it far from you." Then he had to call him Satan. Oh, the ups and downs of this discipleship development. "Get thee behind me, Satan," who didn't want any pain to go along with this wonderful kingdom. Particularly, the minute he was complimented, Peter went crazy. I've noticed that too. I've gotten to the point I'm scared to tell somebody, "You're doing good." This part of us loves that so much, you just go crazy. "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this. Spirit of God." He compliments him. Then he talks about the cross, and Peter says, "Be it far from thee, Lord." He has to be called Satan. He doesn't say act like Satan. He is Satan. Incarnate. "Get behind me, Satan." Then Jesus lays down the cross and the price. Listen to this. This is the message. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, if any man will come after me," oh, he couldn't mean this. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." I fired four or five people this week, caught in the grips of self-preservation bondage. Didn't fire any of them for the mistake they made. They got fired because the minute the correction came, they went into self-preservation freeze. Don't put this up 2,000 years ago in the arid uplands of Samaria. This message is right where you live. From morning to night, Christians, at every opportunity, save self. Their first knee-jerk reaction is not deny self. And the devil can conceive of the most religious of reasons. Jesus thought it was a bear too when he first saw it. You all have heard me. I don't want to hear your explanations. "Well, this is why I did it." Why do I care? It's done. What now is revealed is I got to look out for myself in the process. I got to figure out, I'm sorry I got caught. What kind of spiritual meaning are you putting on these words? They are to be interpreted exactly as meaning what they say. If any man will come after me, you can go after all kinds of substitutes. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. I tell the people who work for me, you're here for spiritual reasons. I know how to set up a criteria of work product. There, the guy gets the job done, has the job. Your pay scale set up accordingly. You don't produce, get out of the way. Somebody else comes in. I know how to run a show like that. But if you're here for spiritual reasons, the spiritual development is the key to staying here. And when correction comes, I'm not interested in your explaining your motives to me. If your motives are bad, I'll figure that out. You won't be here. Don't insult me. Don't insult me by thinking that you have to tell me your motives are right and I've already got you inside the camp. That's a given. He thinks you protest too loudly when you have to tell me. Stop the excuse making. Stop the reasoning among yourselves. And recognize that evil side of us that seizes upon us and the devil surfboards on it. Self-preservation freeze, which invites the devil in. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, not Jesus' cross around the neck, our cross, each one of us. And all a cross is good for is to die on. Now, there's nothing that makes self-preservation move to the forefront like feeling we're not being treated fair. I want to ask all of you, where did the idea come that this life owes you fairness? Try that on your drill sergeant at a Ranger's Marine boot camp. Well, I would like an audience with the general because my drill instructor is not fair. I'm probably by nature one of the fairest men alive. I'm tired of people using it against me. Remember me telling you a few months ago? Of somebody, every time I tell him to do something, he's got a better way to do it. And I said, when you're 68 and paying the bill, you can lay here and smoke a cigar and tell people to do something wrong. I told him, go hang one of my pictures. And he tells me a better way to do it. I got a right to hang my pictures upside down. To put them on a... I got a right to lay him on my toilet seat to put me in an artistic mood before I move it. It's my art. Oh, he's upset because we didn't bring bread. Oh, I got to preserve self. Let him deny himself. And when you haven't been and you get caught, the whacking comes, it's your cross. You die on a cross. A cross is an instrument to die on. Well, it's just not fair. And there's nothing makes me more upset than being blamed for something somebody else did. Who did what for which Jesus died? Answer that question. Who did what? Did Jesus die for his sins or for ours? Now, people would turn instantly white-headed and there would be strokes galore if all of a sudden God, and He will one day, would drop a screen here and precede it with names and start with this row across every row and just run a scroll of secret sins in all of your lives. Not a one of you could stand what Clinton's going through. How would you like that? Every secret sin. Today, I bet I'd pack this cathedral out. If I could give guarantees, your name wouldn't be on the list. All the sins are going to come down. And all of those were laid on Christ. No pun intended. And you're out scot-free. And you're going to hang on to some little thread. Well, in this case, I'm not 100% to blame. Face yourself. You don't want to die to self. Let's keep going. For whosoever will save his life, well, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He bore our sins, stepped from heaven's glory, and did it without complaint. Therefore, understand this principle in the Christian life. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Don't make this 7-month commitment unless you mean business. This is more important than a Jesuit trainee. More important than a Marine boot camp. I told one guy on the phone before I hired him, said, "You've been a pain in the gazoo ever since I've met you from the first time you showed up. So I got a special focus meter on you. You make one wrong move after you come to work, you're going to think you died and woke up in hell. I intend the last years of my ministry to be surrounded by people who want to make it right. Who want to be able to say, I persevered and I made it. And it's a worthwhile endeavor. And he didn't come down to my standard. Thank God he helped me get up to God's standard." Nobody's telling the Christian, you are enlisting in a war. You are being built together as an army of faith to do battle. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and cosmocrateros, world rulers of this darkness, to those that want to dwell therein. You've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Act like it. For what? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, including your own little silly ego, self-image? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give? Hang on to a little pride in exchange for his soul. I'm not done. I'm going to quit right there. God willing, I will continue this next Sunday because he gets even more specific in another passage. He is building a church to do battle, to exist in the battle, and to win the battle. He says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it," the church that he's building. Christians are a warrior society, not a weak clinic of spiritually fat-ass deadheads. I'll be looking at you sometime this week. Be here next Sunday. The song, what were we singing? I can't fly. No, not yet. Is that okay? Usher's come. It's offering time.